everybody. Happy Friday. It is Friday, May 27th, and it's What's the Hook with Diane and Andy. And oh, another dark week in America. And it's hard. It's been hard to watch the news. It's been hard to think about the news and, you know, without your heart hurting. I have to say, Andy and I have done some things. We're engaging in some diversionary activities because our brains needed it. And one of the things that we did, we'll just jump right in. We went to one of the For Your Consideration events at NBC Universal's FYC house and we went for Angeline because, oh my God, Andy is so into Angeline. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And I don't know if like people outside of LA and probably New York, like know the whole FYC, you know, marketing blitz that happens. And, you know, stands for For Your Consideration. And it's all about targeting the people that vote on the big awards, whether it's movies, you know, TV, of course, in our case, we're talking about TV and primarily the Emmys.
Yes.
Yeah. It's just billboards all over the city. Just say FYC. And then a show that sometimes came out 6 months ago and you're like, oh, okay. They're trying to remind voters that it existed and why they should vote for it. And then they do these cool events around town and screenings. And then what Diane just mentioned, these FYC houses where they, like a particular streamer or network or production company, will like take over a whole space, like a club or a, you know, whatever private event space, and really promote all their shows. So we, thanks to Diane, we got to go to this really cool one for NBC Universal and saw a screening of the premiere of the Angeline show, sitting just a few feet from the amazing star Emmy Rossum and
one of the executive producers, Allison Miller. And NBC Universal kind of went all out and they styled out a whole space. They brought in costumes from many of their different of the shows that they've produced, like The Gilded Age and Angeline and Chucky from the Sci-Fi Network. So there was just kind of a whole melange of costumes and art, little artifacts and things. But for the Angeline panel that we went to, they served pink donuts, which of course was perfect. And then there were some past hors d'oeuvres and things on the rooftop at a downtown, at a Hollywood hotel. But it was really interesting to listen to Emmy Rossum and Allison Miller talk about the project, because Emmy Rossum was just so devoted to this project for like 5 years.
She was idea to do a show, which I thought was so fascinating. And I don't think I knew that going in, that this was really her brainchild. And she was fascinated by Angeline. And she talked about arriving in LA around the same time I did, in the very late 90s, when Angeline, I don't know if she still had any billboards, but I think she may have had a couple.
Maybe one or two.
Probably. Yeah, at that point. And she was definitely like, you know, a legend around town. And I've seen her many times over the years. And like, I was, you know, looking through my phone photos. And of course I have, you know, every time I see her, I have to take a shot of that pink Corvette and tell a friend, you know, it's like kind of like a lucky... Cool. Yeah, it's like a lucky sighting of Angeline. And
definitely.
I mean, talk about another very LA specific thing. She's, you know, famous for only, you know, she's not famous for anything other than being famous and, you know, putting up billboards of herself.
But she was, to give her credit, she was one of the first people who did that and who did it without social media, who really the power of her own personality and image. She really understood the power of image and imagery. And Emmy Rossum is going hard for that Emmy nomination. And I think it would be tough to get, given that the show is streaming on Peacock. And as much as I love Peacock and I value my $5 a month subscription and I use it, I watch a lot of stuff on Peacock because they also have a lot of comedy, which I value. I don't know. I'm hoping that people are checking out the series. It's a limited series. It's only 5 episodes, not that long to watch, not that much of a time commitment. And it's definitely Emmy Rossum as you have never seen her. So.
Yeah. I mean, I loved it. I don't know how well it translates if you haven't spent a lot of time in LA, if it just sounds like silly and ridiculous that people find this like personality as amusing as we do. But I found this, I just found it very interesting and very kind to her, because she's
definitely,
yeah, it's kind to her. She famous for not being famous. You know, there's now a lot of people that have built big platforms based on just kind of the power of their own personality and their own persona. But yeah, like you said, she was one of the early people to do that. And this is one of the very first times anyone's gotten a behind the scenes peek into what she might actually be like as a person.
And also because they bought her life rights, and they also used the story that Gary Baum wrote for The Hollywood Reporter as the basis.
Yeah, he broke open like the whole story of her past and who she actually was, because people didn't even know that. You know, they just,
because she kept lying about it and making up stuff, so people never knew. And it is a very interesting story. So, you know, it's always interesting. It's also, again, where it's another meta story of who gets to tell your story. What's the truth? What's not the truth? You know, it's another one of those.
Well, and she's so committed to this like persona of Anna Jolene, which is not the name she was given. You know, she really did, you know, she had some probably serious trauma when she was younger. Definitely. And Angeline was sort of a character that she made up in her head. And then she became that character and walks through life as Angeline. And I think she says, you know, there's no person before this. This is who I was born as. And I'm, you know, anyway, very interesting. And I thought she, Emmy Rossum is really, really good in it. And
I would agree with that.
And I also had a lot of fun with, I thought the sci-fi kind of elements they wove into it were really cool and weird and quirky. And I mean, she is a little bit of an alien. So Angeline, not Emmy Rossum. And so that stuff worked for me. I kind of just giving her a little bit of an otherworldly edge. So I don't know. Anyway, very interesting show.
Yeah, but it was a fun afternoon over at the NBC Universal FYC house. And thanks to all the nice folks there for putting us on that list. It was just fun to see the whole thing. There's also been some interesting news about stuff that's happening. The biggest news for me is that Jodie Foster has agreed to star in the next season of True Detective.
I love this for True Detective, and I love this for Jodie Foster.
I think we're all going to be happy to see Jodie Foster on screen.
Because she has she done a TV show yet?
I know she's been directing feature films.
Yeah, I feel like this might be her first foray into TV.
Oh my God, and I should have checked that. Andy, excellent point.
Well, it's cool to see some of these really, you know, kind of legit movie stars.
Like an A-lister, TV. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So and of course, I think she'll be great. I don't even know what the story is.
I know, but already it's off to a good start with Jodie Foster.
And I'm already wondering, is she going to be teamed with someone? Because it's usually a two-hander.
Right.
So now I'm dying to know, like, oh my God, who are they going to team her with? I have a million questions. Yeah. Anyway, the other interesting bit of news, and in the best talent deal I've seen in a while, is that HBO made a first look deal with Omar Sy, who, if you watch Lupin on Netflix, you know, is the very handsome burglar, handsome thief. And I love that HBO Max was like, thank you, Netflix. We'll just take a prime piece of your talent and make a deal with him. So I kind of love that. And Andy, here's my question. This weekend, since it's May 27th, this is the big opening weekend for Top Gun Maverick. And I think unless you're living under a rock, you've seen coverage of one of the many huge premieres this film has had. So Andy, is anybody going to stay home this weekend to watch TV? Are they going to be watching Stranger Things or Star Wars, Obi-Wan Kenobi? Or are they going to the movies to see Top Gun?
There's so many like big cultural events happening that I have no interest in, frankly. Like my Vanity Fair print edition just came and it's all Star Wars on the cover. And I'm like, oh, okay, guess we're doing that. I'm just not in the Star Wars universe. No offense to people who are. I know people love it. Top Gun, not in a million years. You'd have to pay me to see it. I don't have it, you know. Well, Tom Cruise, I just have, you know, I have issues with. Okay. I saw Top Gun as a kid, but I didn't like land with me in a way that I'm dying to go see this, but I've heard it's good.
Oh, I mean, it's gotten incredible reviews.
Yeah,
I mean, of course, all of really the movie fun. Reviews have been stellar, stellar, stellar. At some point, I will go see it, not on opening weekend, because I don't really want to sit in a crowded theater. But I do admire that Tom Cruise took a hard line saying, nope, it will not stream anywhere.
Yeah, at least
theaters only.
Like, it's almost like 6 months, right? It's the window that he made them
possible.
Commit to. Yeah.
So it's like, nope, you have to go to a theater. And of course, it's an IMAX as well, which would probably be the best way to see it, given the flying scenes.
Okay, maybe I'll go see it with you in a couple of weeks.
Okay, deal. In a couple of weeks.
Okay, yeah.
Also, because, you know, there are just so many incredibly handsome men in it. I mean, Jay Ellis from Insecure, Glenn Powell.
I love Glenn Powell.
You know, my favorite daddy, John Hamm.
Oh,
John Hamm has been making the talk show circuit rounds, which is so delightful for me. So thank you, John Hamm. And it's just been the best. And also, I was a little older than Andy when the original Top Gun came out. And I got to visit in San Diego and see just a few minutes of it shooting. I didn't get to see very much.
Oh, cool.
Because I knew someone at the time. I was working in the mailroom at Paramount. And I knew someone working for Simpson Bruckheimer, the producers of Top Gun. And I will never forget that, because I was like, oh, this is like big time movie making. This is like the way the stars do it. And I remember just seeing Jerry Bruckheimer and like Don Simpson. And I was like, wow. I was like, this is it. But we didn't get to see much because it was top secret even way back when. So I do remember doing that, though. I also just wanted to mention really quickly, it's in September, but the sixth and final season of The Good Fight will premiere September 8th on Paramount Plus. And I was a big fan of both The Good Wife when it was airing on CBS and The Good Fight, which stars Christine Baranski and Audra McDonald. And if you don't have Paramount Plus, honestly, just get it just to watch The Good Fight, because it's such a phenomenal, phenomenal show written by Robert Michelle King and a whole bunch of really, really wonderful drama writers. Andy, we haven't talked about the end of Atlanta's season. What did you think? I don't think we talked about the final couple of episodes.
I mean, I had to go, I've rewatched the last three episodes, I think, just trying to gather my thoughts on this season. I mean, Atlanta just like continues to be so fascinating and surreal and kind of, you know, hard to decipher. Like, I feel like it's a little bit of an art project that I have to sit down with and really contemplate to fully get what's happening. And that's a cool thing. I mean, that's a good thing. It's great to have like it to have art that makes you, you know, have to go beyond, you know, the surface basically, but it's been a lot to kind of understand what's going on.
I think it's that they're in their own lane. They're not in anybody else's lane. They don't need to be in anybody else's lane. They're in their own lane and they're telling their stories the way they want to.
Totally. And
I know we've talked about this before, but I think we both love when they do episodes that don't have any of the main characters we're used to seeing.
Yeah. Yeah. And they did several this season, just episodes that are just standalone.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I found them really good. I think a lot of them are doing some heavy lifting in terms of, you know, teaching some anti-racist lessons and some history.
Very much so.
Yeah. Some history. Yeah. History of like, you know, basically racism and kind of, you know, it's important for white people to sit down and watch them, frankly. Like there's, I think it was the season premiere was talking about the couple, the Hearts, the lesbian couple who adopted like 8 non-white children and then, you know, drove off a cliff and killed them all. And
Horrible story.
But it tackled that. There was one about a very kind of rich couple with a son in New York, and the son had a nanny and the nanny died and she's Trinidadian and they don't really want to go, but they end up going to the funeral of this Trinidadian nanny that they had. And, you know, they're just kind of in like cultural overload. Meanwhile, the kid's just like awesome. And he knows the food and he knows the lingo and he's just like,
he knows the song. And he knows all the music, which
he knows the music, and he's like totally, you know, comfortable, and they're just like very uncomfortable. And it, and kind of, there's a message about they feel kind of disconnected from the raising of their child, because they had this amazing nanny that was really close to him. And then on the flip side, a daughter gets up to speak, one of the nanny's daughters gets up to speak, and she starts like crying and kind of having a meltdown and saying like, you weren't there for me because you were off taking care of other people's children. And it's like,
and she's angry. And she's angry about it, and rightfully
very
so.
Angry. Yeah. Yeah. So there's like a lot of commentary there on, you know, who are the caretakers. And
I thought it was also interesting because it's the kid who really has cultural appreciation for his Trinidadian nanny. And, you know, we talk a lot, there's so much talk about cultural appropriation, but we also have to recognize cultural appreciation. So,
oh, I like that. That's a good, yeah, I like that.
I was also really struck by the Atlanta episode about the college scholarships.
It was fascinating.
When the Black businessman comes and says he's going to give scholarships, but only to the Black students. And the young man who is of mixed race is denied, and he's given a quiz about Blackness, which was one of the most genius sequences I've seen. And I mean, it was jaw-dropping in its own way. What did you think of that episode?
It was so good and really powerful, and raised questions around what does it actually mean to be Black? I mean, this kid was not identifying as Black to his close friends at school, really, at all, actually. So, and he makes it his dad, you know, there's like, unfortunately, now it's become like a kind of just thing that Black fathers have to do with their sons, is like giving them the talk about police and how to, you know, engage with police and stay safe and not get murdered by police. And he's having that conversation with the son on the way to the school before the, you know, on the same day. And the son's like, oh, it won't happen to me, whatever. And he just, because he doesn't experience some of the things that, even though he is half Black, he doesn't experience some of the things that people right. that are more recognizably, identifiably Black experience. So he gets to kind of play both sides of the, I don't know, I should, anyway, he kind of has a different experience where he can step into either side of that, you know, not that it's a...
But he feels slighted because he's not getting one of the scholarships.
Yeah. And then it's hysterical. Like the way this billionaire and his like buddies, like the questions they're throwing out at him, you know, about
that kind whole of sequence was hilarious.
Black culture. And basically he knows nothing about Black culture. So he fails their, you know, their test and doesn't get So I don't know. I found it very thought provoking. I have a couple of people in my life that have had that experience of like, where they're not always identified as being partially Black, and they've talked about, you know, they hear things that, you know, other people
they hear
more racist stuff because people don't always, you know, realize they're saying it. Or anyway, that's an interesting, it's an interesting like kind of slice of life that doesn't always get a lot of attention. But
in a related note, after the horrific school shooting in Uvalde, Texas, people started tweeting at Quinta Brunson, who created Abbott Elementary. And they asked her if she would do an episode about a school shooting. And I was kind of appalled when I saw that.
Yeah, I was too.
Because for one, Black women spend enough of their time teaching white people and schooling white women on what they should or shouldn't do. And Quinta Brunson has already created a really lovely, warm, human, very, you know, real show, and populated it with very relatable characters. And she's doing so much good for schools and for teachers, and to try to help teachers and to try to help school children. To say to her, hey, are you gonna do one about a school shooting? I felt like it was grossly insensitive, inappropriate. And also, that's not her responsibility.
Yeah.
Her creative responsibility is to simply to come up with more stories that she wants to tell, the ones, and also, you know, when you're doing a comedy show, it's also very, that's like saying, hi, could you do an after school special? Could you do a very special episode about this? So Quinta Brunson, if you hear this anytime, we're on your side. Do what you want to do. And don't listen to those fools.
Yeah.
Frankly, I'm just popping off. It just made me angry.
Andy. Yeah. I mean, that show tackles some like hard truths about being an educator and lack yes. of funding. And it does do some good work already. I mean, it does a lot of great work. Amount. I mean, and just being an amazing piece of entertainment and being very relatable and human and yeah. And it raises some issues that, you know, but to think that, yeah, she now has to be tackling this horrible issue that is not her job to fix is just not, it's not cool.
And that's the general point. It is not Black women's jobs to fix, to explain. It is hard enough for Black people in general to live day to day. Don't put additional demands because you want to see it.
Yeah, they didn't create this problem. Like they have nothing at all. Frankly, they have nothing to do with this problem.
No, it's created by white people because these are young white men who are shooting up places.
Yeah.
Let's ask how white parents are educating and parenting their boys. And then let's ban AR-15s. Yeah. So that's about as political as I'll get today.
Well, that was a little too much logic for our country there, Diane. I mean, whoa.
Sorry.
Gee.
Sorry.
Really getting out there. Just to quickly wrap up on Atlanta, what did you think of the season finale with Van in Paris impersonating Amelie or something? Like she watched Amelie on the flight. It was so bonkers, but really entertaining. But I was like scratching my head at the end, like what the hell?
Oh, see, but I wasn't scratching my head at the end because I felt like they actually really, it did make sense. When you saw Van talking to her friend, when they were sitting outside by the river and Van was saying how she just like wasn't sure who she was right now and how she had left her daughter, her and Ern's daughter, with her parents and how she just was unsure of what she, like who she is right now. I felt like it was just Van going through a bit of a crisis. And just trying to figure things out. And that happens. It can happen at any age. And I think a movie like Amelie with this sort of hyper real or surreal quality was just very appealing. And so she just kind of channeled Amelie and became Amelie. And it made for a great device. It was a weird as fuck episode.
I mean, we had cannibalism, like
high-end
culinary cannibalism. Like we had Alexander
Skarsgård. Oh God!
Oh great! Oh my God! He could just be in every single thing, and I'd be happy.
He's very game. I love that about him.
Yeah, he's very game. That's so true. Yeah, anyway, weird episode, but I mean, God, this show's just so awesome. It's incredible.
One of the greatest compliments you can always give a performer. Or a show is when they really commit. And when Atlanta commits, it commits.
Yeah.
Like they follow through. They don't do something half-assed. They see it through. And that's definitely something that they did with this episode. But then you realize at the end when Van kind of gets teary and she starts to confess like all her internal struggle, it actually does make more sense. But yeah, it was a bonkers ride going through it. I agree.
Yeah, there's always some real surreal situations like leading up to the kind of emotional payoff. Yeah.
In other finale news, what else? We've both watched the Better Call Saul finale. Andy, what did you think?
This is a brilliant show. I love it. Sometimes while I'm watching it, I'm like, where is this going? Because
it's very slow.
It is slow.
It's always been slow.
Yes. But when you get to the emotional payoff, it wallops you over the head with it. and then becomes, you know, brilliant and amazing. And it, this did that. The finale like blew me away. I couldn't believe what
The mid-season finale, because the show mid-season finale.
Yeah, thank God it's only
July
like
one.
Yeah, only like 6 weeks or not even away, because I can't wait.
Less than that, about a month really, because it's coming back July 1st with the rest of the episodes. I think 7 more episodes. And just having the death of a major character was jarring and sudden. And I have to say, the show's very good in the way they use violence, since I am a little squeamish. They're very good in that the violence is often sudden and unexpected and can often be devastating. And they're very, very good in using it that way. And while I think, I mean, Rae Seahorn deserves an Emmy nomination.
Absolutely.
So much for her portrayal of Kim Wexler. You know, Bob Odenkirk always does great work, but I have to say, Tony Dalton as Lalo, who is the bad guy who comes back and shocks everyone.
Yeah.
He just steals so many scenes. It's
he really does.
And I know he's a fan favorite as well. He is just pretty breathtaking. So it's, you know, look, I've been into this show from the beginning. So as slow as it is sometimes, I'm here for the duration. And I'm really, you know, I'm, of course, very curious, how are they going to land this plane?
Well, I know we still have no idea what is going to happen to Kim.
We don't. We don't. Know
she's not in Breaking Bad. So yeah. She's.
And I don't even want to make predictions. I'm really hoping that she kind of just goes
goes into witness protection or something. Living a happy life somewhere,
and
out of the Breaking Bad universe. That's what I would like to see for her, but I don't know.
In other finale news, the final seasons of Ozark and Grace and Frankie both scored really well for Netflix. Both were very, you know, like up in the top 10 in their top 10 category. Now that the new Stranger Things episodes have dropped, that's already at number 4 on their Netflix top 10 list. And again, given Netflix algorithm and the way they do their record keeping, who knows what's what, who knows how many people are really watching, because they don't really release numbers. But I'm really glad that a lot of people watched Ozark and Grace and Frankie. I think both shows, of course, deserve the viewership. I think both finished, you know, pretty beautifully. I think I liked Ozark more than I did Grace and Frankie, but you know, both very strong series.
Are you a Stranger Things fan?
I am behind. Not watched season 3.
Same.
And that's 8 episodes. But I might just jump back in.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure there'll be a recap to jump back in. And what kills me is like, all of the kids are so grown up now. You look at them and they look like completely different people. But that's also what I find sort of intriguing. So I might just jump back in and like say, where are we, kids? Tell me everything. So in other finale news, This Is Us closed out their 6-season run this week. And it was, talk about a show that really knew how to close it out beautifully. They did it very much to formula the way they started the show, which I thought was really nice. And in a calculated move, the show did not end with the death of Mandy Moore's character. It ended with a day in the life of the family, which is exactly how the show began. And it was very calculated. The show creator, Dan Fogelman, said because he wanted to show how life goes on after these things happen, even after someone important to you is no longer here, you go on, you know, families go on, kids go on. And, you know, you kind of keep going on with life as best you can. So it was a really beautifully done finale. I got to go to a big FYC finale event where they had part of the cast there in person and part remotely. So that was interesting. But I talked to some of the cast on the red carpet and then got to see the finale a few days early and then listen to the cast talk about it. And I think most of them were as choked up about it as the audience was. So the show really struck a chord, and I would not be surprised to see either a TV movie, I'm sure, I have to think NBC's trying to get some type of spinoff going. They'd be fools if they didn't. I think the last finale I wanted to mention was Ellen DeGeneres took her final bow on her talk show a couple of days ago, or excuse me, yesterday. Today's Friday. Oof, I don't know what day it is. And Andy, you were just kind of nonplussed about the whole Ellen thing, yes?
Yeah, I would catch snippets of the show and I just never found it compelling. I didn't find her interview style. I don't know. She didn't connect with me any longer. So I know a lot of people that loved her. So it's just for me, there was nothing to tap into really.
I always admired how she was able to raise so much money for charities, for good causes, for good people. What's interesting is that all of the pieces that are being written about the show now and being written about her are very much about this very mixed legacy that she's leaving.
Yeah.
Especially because the whole toxic workplace thing was discovered like last year and how that affected how it's all perceived. And I have to think that weighs on her. It was an interesting sort of shadow over her last season, but she's not always my cup of tea, but I know it made a lot of people happy. And yeah. I don't begrudge anything that makes a lot of people happy.
Same.
We just need to find a smile where we can.
Yeah.
And speaking of finding smiles, Andy, Hacks is making me smile so much.
Yeah.
I adored this week's two episodes, which were the retired episode and the Memphis episode. The retired one is the one where Deborah plays a state fair and runs into an old friend that she competed in a comedy contest with, played by the wonderful Harriet Sansom Harris, who's a fabulous, fabulous actress.
Yeah. I just love when I see actresses like that who have done so many amazing things.
She was on Frasier like decades ago and was so, she's just,
I know, she's like very familiar, and I love seeing people get opportunities like this. So Deborah thinks she destroyed that woman's career.
His career, yeah.
Comedy career. And of course, nothing is ever quite as it seems.
It's not what Deborah perceived.
No, when she admits that, she confesses that, the woman says, well, I saw the sacrifices you were making and I didn't want to do it. And she gives some examples of Deborah basically being not a very good mom.
And also, and Susan was saying she had
just... But not very good, I mean terrible.
And that her friend Susan had just found out she was pregnant. And when she saw how Deborah basically was so committed to her work and to her career that she brought her daughter on the road with her. And like Susan realized, well, that's not what I want to be doing with my kid.
And she told a story about what happened. Something happened to the daughter. She fell or broke.
She had a little medical emergency.
Didn't remember that. Deborah like did not remember that happening because she was so focused on herself and her career.
Yeah. The Memphis episode, another standout episode.
Amazing. One of the best.
The fabulous Jane Addams, who plays Ava's mom.
Yeah.
Popping in, just surprising Ava on the road, much to Ava's chagrin. And then all of the gals going out for a drink at a bar.
And we got Kiki back.
Kiki! Oh my God, it was so great to see her.
Poppy Lou, plays Kiki.
So funny. So good.
Yeah, so good. Deborah's poker dealer.
It's wonderful. Because
Deborah's always just
get back into her pre-show rhythm.
Yeah,
she was great, and I loved just watching Deborah get hit on in a bar by a guy who had no idea who she was.
Yeah, and was probably 20 years younger.
And God bless, you gotta love that.
Yeah, She's really struggling for most of these two episodes. She's still really struggling with her comedy. And it's like, you know, it's getting lukewarm response from the, you know,
very lukewarm
the audiences, but not amazing. Yeah, it's not really landing.
And Deborah's trying to figure out what is the new act? You know, what is it she wants to be saying? And what's great is you see this great back and forth between her and Ava and how complimentary they actually are to each other.
Yeah.
How their talents complement each other, because as irritated as she gets with Ava, they write together really well. And just watching them try to craft jokes together.
Ava was an advocate for Deborah not doing as much self-hating comedy, for lack of a better term, like comedy that where Deborah's constantly the butt of her own jokes.
Right.
But Deborah kind of has a little epiphany that
a big one
doesn't necessarily have to be the butt of the jokes, but she also is a very flawed human. She has this breakthrough of like, wait, I need to be talking about how fucked up I am. Not just that I was kind of like the victim of these circumstances, but also like I made choices that, you know, kind of fucked up my daughter and kind of fucked up my marriage. And, you know, it's cool. It's cool. And then we get the huge, like, kind of, you know, super cut of like these new jokes that she's telling, where she is giving the real story about what happened, but then also poking fun at herself, and she's killing with audiences. And that just the right amount. Yeah.
I mean, when she asks an audience member the worst thing that's ever happened to him, and he says, when his mom had cancer and died. And she says, if you were given the choice of having your mom come back to life or hosting a late night show, what would you choose? And he says, I'd bring my mom back. She goes, now you see, I can't relate to that. I mean, it was just,
it was really good.
The writing in this show. Oh my God, my God.
Yeah.
And then I just
want to see Deborah on her comeback finally.
There was also just that wonderful scene because Ava can't swim.
Yeah.
And Deborah gets her in the pool and she's floating on her back, and they're still working on a joke about Deborah's business manager. And that scene, just Deborah trying to teach her to float, was really beautiful in a lot of ways. And I just have to hand it to the show's writers about how beautifully they are evolving this relationship, because there's still that specter of Deborah suing Ava hanging over it.
Right.
But it was, oh boy, oh boy.
I mean, at the end of the day, this is a feel good show. Like it makes you squirm a little bit, because it's not all fun and games, but at the end of the day, like it, you know, it's a very joyful show. And you know, the payoff from what they set up this season has been really great so far. So
I agree. I think, I think season two, even better than season one.
And we just have two more episodes left, I think.
Two more.
So next week, those last two will drop.
Yep. I think we're going to talk about the Flight Attendant season finale next week. And we're going to talk about The Staircase next week.
Yeah, that sounds good. I'm a little behind on those two.
Yeah.
Quick shout out to Sharon Stone doing some really cool work on The Flight Attendant, though.
It's so great to see her, like, anytime. But geez, you forget how just incredibly talented this woman is.
Amazing actress, and playing a very off type, you know, non-typecast role here.
Well, and to see her embrace a role that isn't just being a glamour puss. You know, you guys, you noted, Andy, very, very true. I just have to chime in. I have to hype Now and Then, which is on Apple TV Plus. It premiered on May 20th, a week ago. So I think there's like four episodes streaming now. It is a bilingual series in Spanish and English. So of course my Duolingo loving brain is loving, like, listening and, you know, recognizing Spanish, but my God, they speak so quickly. it's only 8 episodes and we're about halfway through now. It's got this really fabulous cast of like, you know, of wonderful actors, people who have worked with Pedro Almodovar, recognizable names like Rosie Perez and Zeljko Ivanek. But oh, it's, I love it because it's also has to do with a tragedy that happened 20 years ago that is now having echoes on the same group of friends in present day. And they're all being blackmailed. There's secrets. There's secret affairs. There's like secret crushes. Oh, I mean, there's politics. There's just, they've thrown everything into the pot and it all works really, really well. So Andy, did you get to watch any of it or?
I'm just like 1.5 episodes in. Okay. So I just got started. I'm loving it so far. So yeah, I'm in. I'm gonna stick with it.
And it's another like super hot cast.
I love that's Dario Bernal, the brother of Gael Garcia Bernal, who's a pretty big star. I thought that was him, but now I see in the notes that that was definitely his younger brother, who was in a really great show called House of Flowers.
I love that show.
Flores, which is really, really a cool show.
That is a comedy on Netflix, I believe.
That's on Netflix, a Spanish language show.
Very, very funny, very funny comedy. Yeah. I love Jose Maria Yazbek, and he is so handsome. He plays a politician who has a secret life. And I love him. I think he's terrific. I think there's a core group of writers, Gemma Nera, Ramon Campos, Paula Fernandez, Puro Serrano, and Javier Chacartegue. Sorry if I mispronounced that. They're so good. I just wanted to mention their names because I think the scripts are very good. The episodes are an hour, but I wish there was more. I love it. I got quickly addicted to this show. So I'm all in. Before we go, I think we've already mentioned new episodes of Stranger Things on Netflix. The first batch of the new season are on there. The second batch is going to drop July 1st. The first two episodes of Star Wars Obi-Wan Kenobi are on Disney Plus now. I wanted to make sure we mentioned Norm MacDonald's final special called Nothing Special. It drops May 30th on Netflix, and he filmed it at home right before he passed away. And it makes me sad to even say that, but you know, if you love Norm MacDonald, you know, there you go. I have a feeling he'll have some interesting thoughts to share in this final special. The other thing that's dropping May 31st on Hulu is this limited series called Pistol. It's 6 episodes, directed by Danny Boyle, film director Danny Boyle. And it's, if you're into music, it's all about the Sex Pistols.
It should be great.
How the band came together. It's a really interesting cast. And it is very, they do a good job with it. And of course, it's going to have a killer soundtrack. So yeah. That's going to drop May 31st, all 6 episodes all at once on Hulu. So.
And then you have written here, and yes. I just learned about this today. A spinoff of Letterkenny, which is such a great, great show. I'm a huge Letterkenny fan.
You didn't know that?
Yeah, I love Letterkenny. I've watched like now it's like 10 seasons or something, and I think I've watched all 10.
I have not watched it, Andy. Is that?
Oh my god, it's so good.
Oh, okay.
Honestly, when I'm trying to explain it, it's such a hard show to explain. It's a bunch of like kind of redneck. Sorry for that term, kind of redneck Canadians, like just sitting around shooting the shit and lots of really funny dialogue. But a great show. Oh, it's like got a little bit of like Schitt's Creek vibes, a little
eerie.
Bit.
Just okay.
Like, but not, it's not nearly as like sentimental and sweet as Schitt's Creek.
Okay.
But it's like this kind of rural Canada, like look behind
the hosers, eh?
And they're funny as hell. And anyway, this spinoff called Shorzy looks like it's going to be great. It's about hockey, I'm sure, because a lot it of is. Stuff revolves around hockey.
It is. And people are saying, basically, if you think of the movie Slapshot that starred Paul Newman, that's definitely the vein that Shorzy is in.
If people try to go, and then if people watch this, they're going to think I'm crazy for comparing it to Schitt's Creek. So that's probably not a really good comparison. It's okay. Got some undertones of like similarities, but it's anyway, much more like about the dialogue and really witty dialogue and puns and alliteration. And okay. So it's kind of poetic in that way.
I'm going to check it out.
Yeah. It's good.
Shorzy dropped today on Hulu. So now streaming, ladies and gentlemen, more to add for your weekend comedy pleasure. And I think that's going to wrap things up for us right now. Everybody stay safe out there. Just think good thoughts and give if you can. Everytown USA is a good place to start.
Yeah.
Just keep a thought, because these are dark times, and let's just try to keep our heads up and do what we can to help each other. That's all I can think of. You can find us on Facebook at, is it Andy? What is our Facebook address?
Facebook.com/whatsthehook.
And then I'm on Instagram at The Surf Report, and also on Twitter at The Surf Report, Andy.
And I am Seriously Andy on Twitter and Instagram.
So you still have the Twitter account. Interesting.
It's back, and I'm keeping it for now until Elon Musk destroys it. But yeah.
I'm just busting your chops. Anyway, everybody, stay safe. Have a lovely Memorial Day. We will talk to you soon.